All right, welcome back. Now we're talking to Rika, and her project is called Like Me, the Virtual Identity and Social Validation. Welcome.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Can you start by just kind of giving us a brief little talk about what you did at the symposium?
Yeah, sure. So my research started out with the question of which values are associated with having a virtual self. And I have been investigating this by using Instagram as the core of my research. So when we present ourselves online, we often call that representation a virtual self. And that can also be described as a public persona, like a polished version of us where imperfection has been cropped out. Mm-hmm. So what I did in my symposium was basically illustrating this by having a conversation with my personal self. And talking about how we use Instagram and the value of likes and what other social stuff that is associated with the media.
Yeah, it was really fun. I remember liking the interaction that you had
with
your virtual self.
Yeah, thanks.
You're talking about social media like almost exclusively, really, and this idea of making yourself public. So do you think that Instagram, you know, and making your images public, do you think that that's the same as being social? Because we call it social media.
Yeah, exactly. I would say both yes and no. I mean, when an image is put on Instagram, it is being put into a platform where social interaction can happen, but it's not like a physical social interaction. It's more like a written thing. Mm-hmm. So it may or may not happen. Mm-hmm. So I would say yes. The media, if you can say so, brings in the interaction and the social part of it.
Right. Like without the pictures on Instagram, there would be nothing to interact with. So then you wouldn't, your friends, the social part of it.
I mean, the pictures is the reason to interact.
Okay. Yeah. Meaning that's what you mean by this media being the interaction itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it allows like a direct interaction between the users.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of you do, in like posting something online is a social interaction.
Yes.
Okay.
Not really. I said yes, but I mean yes and no.
Yeah.
It's the platform where it can happen.
It's really the potential for social interaction.
Exactly.
Not the actual act of it.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. So, you know, all this talk of Instagram and everyone posts selfies, or at least most people post selfies.
Yeah.
Do you think it's wrong to post selfies?
I mean, posting a selfie is a personal matter, and the reason to publish an image of oneself can be different. It can be a attempt to gain social recognition, and it can be to share an experience with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So one finding I made in my research is that posting a selfie is a statement, like an opinion, comment, or message conveyed indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
So, as with personal matters, it is with selfies. The wrong or the right is up to the person who posts the selfie. I think it's fine.
So it's kind of a self-expression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have been looking into this writer called James Brindle, who argues how using the internet, for him at least, has been a part of developing his personality.
Mm.
That's
probably more and more true too, as like, you know, we really, any generation now won't know living without the internet.
Yeah, so what he says that he had access to a lot of stuff as a 13-year-old teenager, but he's not sure that he would have his kids looking at the same stuff today.
So he's not sure it was a good thing.
It has affected him
a
lot. So I think today we are at a point where we have to be more, I would say, what is the word for that? Critical to what we see on the internet and social media especially.
Yeah. Well, and especially like talking about raising kids or the next generation, how do they interact with what we have on the internet?
Yeah,
there's so much
out
there.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah.
And also, social media seems to be very superficial.
Right, exactly.
you just have to know that it's superficial, but you might not know as a 13-year-old.
Sure. Well, I think that's, I know there's been studies done on the, basically, how people interact with social media and versus in real life now, and especially mm-hmm. like teenagers not really knowing how to interact with people in a real
yeah.
way because of this social media thing where they live on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever. And
yeah,
it's so interesting and kind of terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I'm not sure if it's wrong or right
yeah.
that they are acting differently, but there seems to be, I've been looking a lot into the likes, a different kind of value we put into mm-hmm. the likes, and it's very important mm-hmm. to be out there and to be sure. liked by your yeah. social network.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe wrong or right is not really the right wording, but it's just a, of course, it's natural to be worried about what it is that we're interacting
yeah,
with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about the superficial, you know, reality of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I think you kind of defined in the symposium this economy of likes. How do you think that graphic designers can interact with this idea of economy of likes? And can they be the bankers, if you will?
I'm not sure if being the bankers is the right word, but
it's a bit of a sketchy concept.
Yeah, it's too, like, I'm not an expert, and I'm not yeah. a banker in that area, but we can definitely take part in the economy changing today, mm-hmm. I think. And the relationship between the likes and the economy, I have been putting that in because I think, what is the reason for that, actually?
Well, I mean,
I think there's like a hidden value in the likes and how we behave on social media with all the data we get out. And that's a completely sure. different area, which is quite interesting to investigate from this point.
Do you think it's a hidden value? I feel like companies are all yeah. like obviously advertising for things on these social networks mm-hmm. and things.
Yeah, it may not be hidden, but at least we who are the creators of the content and the users are not generating any money from
true.
All the data
yeah, yeah.
we put out there.
Well, except for on YouTube, if you're like one of those.
Yeah, but
whatever. Or like an influencer or whatever. Exactly, but who are exactly. those people?
Yeah, so there's this guy called Jamie Lanier. Mm-hmm. He has been writing a book who's called Who Owns the Future? And okay. he's actually talking about how we as the users can take back the control over the data.
Yeah.
And earn some money.
Oh,
that. So
well, that's
it's
exciting.
Quite interesting. So what he is talking about is that in the future, like 20 years from now,
yeah.
it will be very hard for us to find a job because everything will be controlled by, I don't know, robots and blah, blah, blah.
Not everything.
No, this is a little like off topic,
yeah.
but it's still an inspiration for my subject
yeah.
to dive into the economy of the likes.
Sure, yeah. Well, and like how they can be used for a different way than we associate with them now.
Yeah, because like I think it was in Switzerland or Luxembourg, it had been discussed whether or not people should receive something called social capital in the
mm-hmm.
in the future, where robots might have taken over the jobs,
sure.
etc. And how should we pay people? And literally, it seemed to be about how likable you are and how much stuff you do, like volunteer work and stuff like that. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I like the word liked and how it's used on Instagram versus economy.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have, like, a hashtag or something in your drawer?
No, actually, what I have in my drawer is, like, a little package of some like pills. Yeah.
Pills.
So, the reason why I choose to develop this to explain my my project and where I'm now in the process is to illustrate how social media can be addictive and how it can be both like a positive thing that can help us, but also like a quick fix.
Yeah, just like
we're feeling like bad and need some
right.
acceptance. So
I mean, they've kind of, haven't they equated it with like what is it, dopamine or something, where it's
yeah,
like a
exactly.
rush, like taking drugs itself. So
yeah, exactly. So you get a little rush out of it, and it is addictive
yeah.
if you look into research made. So.
So basically, in your
likes.
Drawer, we get to be addicted.
Yes. And you can eat the pills.
Oh.
Not really.
What are they?
Just normal headache pills.
Normal? What? Advil or something?
No, just like Panodil.
Is that legal?
Yeah. No, it's legal.
Okay.
Completely.
Well, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Next, we have Annabelle switching for interview, and she'll be talking with Ava first.